The reading we just heard from Ephesians, and I want to talk to you about one of God's saints that I knew, and I want to talk to you. St. Paul is talking about dignity that's given to all human beings in Christ, and the purpose that's given to all human beings in Christ. So, in my last parish, we had. How to talk about it. There was an event that we knew was going to happen sooner or later, but everybody was kind of not thinking about and kind of putting it off and I suppose kind of dreading it. But and so it happened. There's a young woman in that parish who was, I guess, in her 30s, and she'd been born with degenerative muscle disease. She had born with a number of strikes against her. Also, she was born with very severe autism and a couple of other things as well. And around the age of 30, unfortunately, she passed away, which is a thing that we were all knew would happen eventually, but we're, you know, not looking forward to say the least. But I guess according to, sorry, I lost a page here. According to the standards of this world, you'd be somebody who didn't have a lot of status, you know, because she was frail in a way, and she didn't have a bunch of accomplishments, although she was very accomplished in a way, in other ways, but she was somebody who had a lot of status with us. And specifically, I'm thinking that she brought to us a number of gifts that were very particular to her. She brought to us the gift of hospitality, and that I have a little bit of a problem with remembering names. She knew everybody's name from the moment she met them. She knew their birthday. She knew their anniversary. She knew absolutely. My wife is nodding, but yeah, all things I can't even remember that she would remember. She had such a fantastic memory. And as part of that, a real interest in people and a real openness and hospitality to them. She also had the gift of frankness. So for example, just as one example, if the priest was very impressed with his own vocabulary on that particular Sunday while he was preaching, she would yell to her mom from the back, "What does transubstantiation mean?" You know, or something, you know, she kind of expressed what other people may have been feeling, but she has said it, you know. Sometimes her mother would say, "You just can't say that," you know, but again, very frankly. And she'd also had a very strong sense of intuition. So for example, it was guaranteed that if I had had a bad week, she would say to me on Sunday morning, "How do you like being a priest?" Every single time. And I'd always go, "Oh, that was just great. I just love it." And so particularly this week, I just love it. And she also had was just a real source of joy and humor to us. I don't know if any of you know Reverend Deacon Elizabeth. Some of you in this parish will know her. Yeah, you know her. So she's my age, right? But there was a Sunday during Advent where it was announced that Mary's cousin Elizabeth was pregnant and was going to be great with child. And this really interested this young woman. She really needed to ask Elizabeth about this. What was going on there? It was kind of a source of joy to all of us. She wasn't perfect, you know. She drove her mom crazy sometimes with kind of persistently asking the same question again and again, especially if she was a little bit anxious. But she was greatly loved, and although again, not the kind of person that has a lot of status in the world, had a lot of status with us, and was considered to be very valuable. And so we knew her funeral was going to be big, and it was completely packed, standing room only. So the day before her funeral, her family requested that they have a Eucharist privately in the chapel, which we did, which is quite appropriate, because that's where she loved to be. And that's where, as St. Paul says, we all sit at the right hand of the Father at the Eucharist. The Roman Empire was not like that parish or like our parish or like any other parish, in that the Roman Empire had no love or respect for weakness. Children were not considered to be human. You maybe know this already. Not considered to be human until the, here's a big fancy word that she would have laughed at, paterfamilias, the father of the family, sat the child upon his knee and declared them human. And if he did not do that, they were not considered to be human beings and could be disposed of, and often were disposed of. Weakness was abhorred and viewed with contempt, and what was worshipped was status and power. The Roman Empire was kind of set up like the mafia, basically. The more connections you have, the more people owed you favors, the more highly elevated you were, and the more you accumulated. Slaves were considered to be contemptible. Slaves could gain their freedom sometimes, could buy their freedom, although they could also be summarily crucified for almost no reason. And even if they did gain their freedom, they're always looked down upon as kind of being an inferior class of people. So Paul's writing to people in this environment, again, where the weak are viewed with contempt, where power is worshipped, and in the city of Ephesus, particularly, which is in the Eastern Empire, particularly in that part of the empire, the emperor is worshipped as a god. So in it, temples were built to him, and even in people's personal homes, as part of the personal piety, they would worship the emperor. So it's, you know, Caesar loves me, this I know, you know, let's sing Caesar loves me, this I know, for his military strength proves that so, or something, you know, like it was a private thing as well as a public thing. And so power and status and wealth were literally worshiped. So if you live in a place like that, imagine that you have a group of people that says, what we worshiped is a crucified Jew. You know, we worship power. We worship Caesar. Oh yeah, we worshiped a crucified Jew that nobody's ever heard of. That would surprise people somewhat. And by the way, he rose from the dead. And they're going, okay, I wasn't even with you with the crucified Jew part, let alone, you know, raised from the dead, which is just crazy talk. So imagine what it would be like to hear that. If you live in a world that worships status and power, and you say, oh, I belong to a group that worships this crucified guy. It did have consequences, however. And the consequences it had were, number one, if you were part of this group, the Christian church, small group, you would believe that every human being was of infinite value, that everybody had dignity, didn't matter whether they were a child, didn't matter whether they were a slave, didn't matter whether they could contribute to you or do something for you, didn't matter how able they were, didn't matter on any about anything, everybody has dignity. Number two, each human being, and this would sound crazy too, each individual human being is the reason that God created the universe. So why did God create the universe? You could say, why do we exist? You're going, well, because of you. God created the universe because of you. And you're going, well, that's a lot of work just for me. And it goes, well, no, he created the universe just for you because he decided to link his life to yours. And his greatest joy is to hear you sing his praises. That's why he made the universe. An equally crazy idea. Number three, the third consequence is that this crucified Jew, in his death and resurrection, had crushed the powers of power, had crushed all that worship of wealth and power, and as somebody put it, proven that Caesar is not God because Jesus is God. And number four, that because we are in him, all of us, slaves, children, women, men, rich, poor, abled, disabled, or whatever the equivalent would be that we use these days, are seated at the right hand of the Father every time we are at the Eucharist, and that Caesar is far below. All of us, no matter who we are seated a place infinitely higher than the powerful of this world. As I said, when this young woman that I was talking about passed away, we gathered together the day before, and we celebrated the Eucharist, and rightly so, because that's where she wanted to be. That's what she loved. That's the source of God's hospitality to us, and it's the place where all of us are seated equally together, those of us who are alive and those of us who have passed on, together in the presence at the right hand of the Father. So our culture, I will boldly say, is in the process of re-Romanizing. You can see it. You can talk to my wife, because I've been saying for 20 years, you won't believe what's going to come next. Because as you peel away the layers of Jewish morality, which Christianity has communicated for the last 2,000 years, peel away, what you see emerging is, well, it's more and more, it's ancient Rome, I'm afraid to say. I believe we're in the process of re-Romanizing. And it's a terrible thing to say, but in some cases, beginning to dispose of the weak, or think about disposing of the weak in a way that would have been incomprehensible at one time. But here we are in this place, together, Christ's light from above, declaring against all voices to the contrary, that every human being is made for a purpose, and every human being has dignity, and God would have made the entire universe for each one of us, even separately. So this is a place where we speak the truth. We speak the truth that each of us is made in the image of God and of unsurpassable value. Each of us of unsurpassable value, from the first spark of life to death, unsurpassable value to God, and are meant to be seated at his right hand in glory. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. You thank you for bringing us into existence. We thank you for looking at us with love, for giving us dignity. We thank you for the examples that are in our own mind right now of people who have lived out their purpose in you, and that has served in as an example to us, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you are the God of the weak and the God of the strong, and that together we are, all of us who live in this age and those who live in the age to come, are seated at your right hand. We offer this prayer to you through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.